You need to take some water, some food. You need rest.
He mumbled through his suddenly thickened tongue and tangled words. Grace shook her head and turned once again to stare out the window.
I need to see the Matriarch, but not here, by the stones.
Her voice was level and definite. It was all Boyd could do to nod, even though his gesture went entirely unseen. 2. No sooner had Boyd phoned Mather Shona than she was at the door, a handful of fresh sage in her cloth bag.
Natreen Nave,
Mother Shona said quietly as Grace sat on the edge of the bed and stared up at her with bloodshot eyes.
We need to call the Dina Seth, but not at the stones. She cannot be out in the air.
Thus commenced the procession of elders to the small flat, with its barren yard and leaky sinks. Boyd felt a pain in the pit of his stomach each time the doorbell rang, and another of the society's great revered and respected entered through the rusted screen door and stepped onto the worn carpet. It was entirely irrational, and yet he felt the sting of projects long neglected as the Kianari sat on the sofa with a ripped cloth and set their water glasses on the chipped and worn side table. He'd never felt his inadequacies more than he did as the elders congregated in the second-hand family room, staring at the cheap prints and flimsy frames that hung on the walls.
What is the condition of the girl?
Asked Moore Ansley as she sat on her throne, a giveaway Barca lounger found on the corner a few streets over soon after Grace and Boyd had moved into this flat. They had wrestled it through their door, and Grace had wiped it down with pungent white vinegar. They had delighted at their find, the centerpiece of the family room. It was older than the children. Kate had come soon after the Barca lounger's arrival, and Alan a bit after that. All in all, the worn leather chair had sat in the tiny flat for over 10 years, grooves worn into the floor from its carved wooden legs. Moore Ansley sat in it as though it were woven of the finest golden thread, as was her way, as was her way. The simplest cotton tunic looked to be made of the finest silk when it lay next to her ivory skin, her wrinkles running rivulets in paths that stretched to the ancient times. She was the Matriarch. As there were none who could step into the role, she kept on living. And though her age showed itself in the deep rivulets surrounding her eyes, she was as sharp and fierce as she had been in her youth. Moore Ansley waited for a reply.
I asked, she repeated slowly, what is the condition of the girl?
Boyd stepped forward.
She won't eat or drink since yesterday. She stares out the window. They're coming. Asked who and...
He trailed off, not sure how to continue.
Who is coming?
Moore Ansley asked in a measured tone.
The Rauerta.
Boyd said quietly, knowing the words could never be taken back.
She says the Rauerta are coming, and she wants to go to the stones.
The room was silent for a moment, and then the quiet clucking of tongues rose from the silver-haired women who filled the room.
Quiet,
Moore Ansley commanded in a near-silent whisper. Immediately, the air hung in stasis, waiting for permission from the Matriarch to circulate.
She cannot go to the stones,
Mother Shona said as she dropped to her knees on the threadbare carpet, the bond connecting her and her ailing daughter compelling her to override the Matriarch's command.
She cannot. The Dark Ones will find her there. We cannot protect her at the stones if they have already touched her mind.
Silence, love,
Moore Ansley said softly, raising a hand and shushing her daughter.
Have a sit,
she stated with well-worn authority.
I need to see the girl. Can she come to me?
Boyd nodded, though unsure if that was true. Grace had not objected to her confinement in the bedroom, nor had she tried to leave it. Would she willingly breach the boundaries to meet the elders here, in her own family room? As he knocked quietly on the door, Boyd's heart jumped in his chest.